Let's go. Let's
Jack
fire it.
Rhodes says Jimmy Doan is the best.
Closing main breaker.
And you know what that means, boys and girls.
It's time for the Jimmy
Yes, it is. It is. My God, we're back. This is way too much fun. It's the Jimmy Doan first show in March. It's March 3rd.
Yep.
We have the Mojo and Rugulator.
Happy birthday, Lawrence Rambo.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Who's she? Rambo.
Rambo.
Okay, good.
Cousin Beth's birthday is on the 6th.
This is good. Hello. Also want to say hello to Las Vegas. Las Vegas is catching up on our website stacks.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be number 2 in our radio. You would expect here in Gainesville to be number 1.
Uh-huh.
But, boy, Las Vegas, I mean, the babes out there must be really liking this show. And we have babes here today.
Las Vegas.
Yeah. We have babes in the room today. We have an audience and everything. We're talking about that. I did notice on our web stats one thing that, besides the usual, which we love.
Dubai strike.
Dubai.
Yep.
And
EJ.
Yeah. they wanted our input on the port thing, of course, which we talked about in the last show. But the other thing I noticed, that we got a hit from Redmond, Washington, that was like totally anonymous. You couldn't get it. No IP. No how they got here. It was on our little cities of origin book sheet here.
Right.
It said unknown, 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 unknown.
Do not try and find us.
Right. And I'm figuring either the NSA is going through Redmond or it's Bill Gates. So we know we appreciate that. But yeah, the usual crowd, which is interesting. And hello out there. Also want to say hello to our friend Gene, as always. Hanger dogs. Now they should be on by the time this show is posted. They may have one as
They'll
well.
Have a new one up.
They are really funny people. Yep. Don't forget Hanger, Hangar, dogs.com. Also, we'll want to mention that if you want to listen to the True Lefties, Jack, what is it, Rational Radical, Jack Clark, and he's you can find him on iTunes, and he does. Yeah, exactly. And he has his latest show was posted last night, and it also, you know, loopy as usual. But the other thing is the Free Domain, which his latest post, which came in last night, was a tribute to Harry Brown. And as we know, Harry Brown is one of my heroes personally. He died last night, unfortunately. They said of Lou Gehrig's disease, but I have my suspicions. I think that somebody poisoned him. Yeah, I don't know. Because he looked pretty good on the 26th of February. That was only less than a week ago.
And we met him last year.
Well, not only that. Well, we got him here for our Libertarian Conference, you know. And I had him sign a bunch of my books. And he was here for the whole 2-3 days, however long the conference
absolutely.
Was. He was one of the high notes, highlighter speakers. But I want to tell this one little story. One of the reasons I got him here, I guess, is I told him that I had met him in the mid-70s. That was my epiphany, as much as anything. I had started to be a libertarian, I guess, in the 70s. I read his book. Unfortunately, it was a couple years late. His first book that I ever read that came out of paperback, hit number 1 on the New York Times bestseller list. That was the How to Profit from the Coming Monetary Crisis. And that book was published in 1969. And I'm an old person, so you have to bear with me just a few minutes on this. In 1969, that was the later years. That was when the Vietnam War was really, everybody was really upset about it.
Summer of Love.
That's it. Well, there was a lot of that, too. And that's when my children were being born. And he wrote this book in 69, and he prophesied that gold would be very valuable then. It was $35 an ounce, as it hadn't been for 30 years, and he said it's going to go through the ceiling, silver's going to go through the ceiling, get your money out of dollars. And he had a whole thing on putting your money into Swiss bank accounts. I mean, the thing hit New York Times bestseller list, number 1. I, unfortunately, did not read it until about 1972 or 73, when the...
Gold was already at...
Well, actually, not quite. I did pretty well, all things considered. They legalized gold at the end of 1974, when it rocketed right up to $200 an ounce. And then it wasn't too long after that. A couple years later, it hit $800.
They legalized gold?
They legalized gold. Can you imagine? Well, you can't imagine. Can you imagine this? From 1933 until 1974, if you owned gold in this country, other than jewelry or certified antique-type gold coins, if, in other words, if you owned a Krugerrand, a SWAT team would show up at your front door.
You've got to be kidding me.
A SWAT team shows up at your front door and hauls you off.
I never heard that
That's
before.
True. If you owned, it's absolutely true. If you owned a lump of gold that was not like a collector's item, or something, you were going to jail.
gold meteor hits your house.
That's it. Boom. Done. Gone. That's it. I mean, you would hope that it would kill you because otherwise the SWAT team is going to come out there and burn your house down or something like that. No, absolutely illegal killing, murder, you know, lethal injection if you own gold.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. So anyway, as soon as they allowed people to own gold, the price, which had been fixed, and we all know that price fixing is always disastrous.
Right.
Because it's interesting, because about that time, they were also trying to fix the price of gasoline, and the only thing that happened is the lines. If you wanted to fill up your tank in New York, you got in line about Missouri. and it took, you know, I mean, there were people, you know, well, it was phenomenal, and they had odd and even days. I mean, everything that the government tried failed miserably, you know, and it was illegal. It was another SWAT team offense if the gasoline store owner took bribes, because people were willing to pay more than 68 cents for a gallon of gas. I mean, if you really had to get someplace, so they tried to stifle the market, and that's what happened. I mean, people were being brought up on charges, going to jail, SWAT team, the whole nine yards, as you would expect. So anyway, as soon as the price of gold was unhinged, it went to $200 an ounce, and we had some fun with that. But the point is that I met Harry about that time, and this was the time when we all thought, I was one of those people, that we all thought it was Armageddon. Prices were going through the ceiling. We had something that, in those years, in the early 70s, early to mid-70s, it was a new phrase called stagflation. One of the tenets, basic tenets of Keynesian economics is that you could not have high inflation and high unemployment at the same time. They had something called the Phillips curve, and they showed how mathematically, with Aristotelian precision, that if you had high unemployment, you had low inflation and vice versa. And this was taught to every single economist and economic student from 1930 until the middle of 1974.
From the law of Keynesian economics book.
That's exactly right. And it could not happen. This was a law. Right. This was more certain than gravity.
Let me guess.
Okay. You want to guess what happened? Okay. In 1974, suddenly the unemployment rate went to like 10%, and inflation went to 15. And of course, people were staggering off glazed eyeballs, saying, "How can this be?" But it was. And of course, there are those of us that said, "It's Armageddon. It's Armageddon." Right.
Cats and dogs living together.
That's right. No, well, it reminded me a little bit of what had happened is, you remember that one Star Trek where you were of the brother or of the body. And of course what happened in 1974 was the crazy time in that show. Remember when they all went nuts and started, you know, doing all the raping and pillaging and everything,
right,
as part of the release? Well, that's what happened in 1974. So anyway, I started saving freeze dried food, you know, nitrogen impacted, vacuum packed freeze dried food, which I still have some, by the way. It's supposed to keep for 30
bargain,
years, and
right,
for a bargain price, you can have some strawberry ice cream that is, well, it's powder, sort of.
But just add ice cream.
Just add ice cream.
That's right, and it'll be just fine. No, no problem. And it's tasty. It's white granular substance.
We got to pull some of that out.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, I met Harry, and Harry was giving a talk at they had a whole plethora of hard money conferences, and of course, the people that made all the money were the guys putting on the conferences.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to New Orleans, and I went in Zurich, Switzerland, for God's sakes, and met Friedrich von Hayek. Interestingly enough, he gave a talk over there. But Harry Brown said something very prophetic, and I'll never forget this. I think it was in the mid-70s, and he said, when he reminded me or told us that the dollar is only legal tender in the United States. Boy, what an epiphany that was for me. When you realize, when people start screaming about how all our dollars are going overseas, they don't realize that there's nothing. I mean, if you're a Chinese peasant and you've got like half a million, say you won the lottery. And
Powerball
lottery. And they send you a check for, you know, $1 million or whatever it is. I mean, you can't spend it over there. Sorry. No way. You have to spend it here. And every dollar that, since all money is wages, we've talked about this before, that means that somebody over here is going to have a job. Now, it may be hamburger flippers. Maybe you're going to buy 10 million hamburgers, and so that maybe all the jobs will be hamburger flippers, but I doubt it. More than likely, you're going to buy a really neat TiVo or something. Satellite receiver would be my guess. Made in China, but sold in the United States.
Right. What about
made by him, actually?
That's his children. But see, this is his way to get it back, and he can pay the freight. This is the beauty of it. It is. Look, this is a classic.
This is my number 12.
That's me. So I don't want this one. Number 11, do I expect a job?
Oh, this is shitty work. I don't want mine.
But this is a classic case of what goes around comes around.
No, but dollars are a form of a currency in the throughout the world.
No.
Not market, but
no.
Throughout the world.
No.
Oh yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. I've used dollars in behind bars in Germany. And
where do you suppose that dollar went?
To someone else's hand, maybe?
Yeah, okay, then where?
To someone else's hand?
And then it had to come back here.
It could float around there for, you know, a couple of decades.
But then you'd have deflation over here.
Yeah, we would have. Think about it.
Right.
If all the dollars went overseas,
well,
what would we...
All the dollars are not going overseas.
I'm glad he. You don't think
today,
so?
Man.
I actually have a couple right here. These are going to go to Costa Rica here in about 2 weeks. So. I can tell you that right now.
I bet if you took those, you could probably buy something off of a street in Costa Rica.
I'm hoping.
Do tell, Jimmy. What are you going to buy in Costa Rica?
On the street.
The street.
That's right. That's Jimmy's hoping for it. You're going to find out what $10 will buy.
Yeah.
Bring your camera.
The fact is that people don't understand. Maybe your $5 when you bought a beer or whatever might have stayed here. I'm talking about the big money. I'm talking about... Fine. It does not taste like bone. No, the deal is that if you pay for a BMW or $100,000 Porsche in dollars, trust me, that money comes back to the United States. It has to come right back right away. In fact, it comes back almost instantaneously because the dollar is only legal tender. Not to say that you can't use it for tender, but think about it for a second. If a German person were to come here, for instance, and hand you a bunch of marks for a chocolate, what would you do?
It would depend on the quantity. If it were coin, nothing. You know, but if it were large bills,
would you take it?
If it were a large Deutsche Mark?
No. If it was a bunch of coins, let's say it was German coins and it was $100, quote, 100 marks.
So 100,
in German
100
coins.
Marks. I suppose that's probably
would you
worth
take it?
$50 at the bank. Sure.
Why would you go to the bank?
Cash it in and get some American dollars.
But really? You don't suppose that the German guy in the bar there, when you gave him your $10 bill, would go to the German bank and get German marks with it?
He can.
In fact, that's what he would do. And so it would come right back. And the bank, trust me, is flying that stuff over here on Lufthansa. And is going to jazz this dirty American money for it.
Oh, that was my money.
Was is the operative word. That's exactly right. So anyway, I wanted to dedicate this show to Harry Brown. That was the point. The fact is, that was an epiphany for me, and that was 30 years ago. Since then, I've done a tremendous amount of research and studying on what it means to be a libertarian, and it's solidified a lot of things. And sometimes when I speak of things libertarian, people don't understand because I, unfortunately, have got a lot of background, 30 years of background in this, and I'll make a statement that I'm calling on 30 years of experience, say. And then you have to sit down and sometimes explain that.
Well, that's
and
why we have
and
this
I don't
show.
Have, and I don't have 30 years left to explain that, more than likely. Or maybe I will.
Maybe you do.
Yeah, that's
age
right.
Age of spiritual machine.
That's right. There's a big conflict on that. We'll talk about that another show.
Why don't you give them the little list of stuff we're going to talk about.
We're going to talk a little. That's right. We'll introduce our guests in just a second. We're going to talk a little bit about Neil Bortz's Off the Web. That's cute. Nuclear bombs in India. A little bit about the fair tax. I had to give a talk on that the other day, and we'll talk a little bit about that. And that's almost
it.
Kids getting suspended, and your bike being torn apart by a SWAT team.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. We have guests today. Eric, do you want to?
We have porn star Laura.
Yes.
Bowman.
Jimmy wanted babes in the studio. We have them.
That's right. I want to tell you.
Really?
So, ha-ha, hanger dogs. We have got babes in the studio today.
No, she's not actually a porn star, are you? No, she's a DJ.
DJ Laura.
DJ Laura. So where are you DJing
she's
at?
She's a spinner.
Right now in the studio in my house.
What's the cover?
Is that a new club?
One Red Bull.
One Red Bull. Oh,
that's
pretty good.
Actually, that's a great name for a club.
This is good. So we have Miss Vicky here.
Vicky over here. Don't have enough mics.
Don't have enough mics, but that's okay. She's going to sell us all insurance when we're done. This is great.
Absolutely.
She's going to keep us healthy.
Healthy.
Because or else it's going to be bad. But she's, you know, Vicky is with the. We can say this. She is with the. Where are my glasses? I've lost it. Oh my God! I can't read it. Let me tell you something. If you're going to sell health insurance to old people, you need to have a card that's twice the normal size. Or at least the print has to be twice the normal size.
But actually, instead of handing out a card, you hand out a pair of glasses for these folks, you know?
Well, yeah,
we
but
care
I mean,
about
more,
your health. Or a card with a built-on magnifier.
There you go. That's
you know, one of those, what do they call those?
But the glasses just have it written on the side.
Inside, yeah, the hologram. Right.
Oh, yeah, that's like, it's like a 50-foot plasma screen. And you have it just laser etched on the inside of the glasses.
Or on my retina. I could maybe post an ad on my forehead here, you know, and we could
Oh, you can definitely do that.
Yeah, you can do
I've
that.
Seen it.
So anyway, Vicky works with the Midwest National Life Alliance on Affordable Services, and so if you need anything, we'll put that on the website or something. You can call her, because we're thinking about doing that. Since nobody would give me, everybody just, the most insurance agents do the official, what's the screen you've got there when they take a look at me? And I ask them for insurance, and what do they say? That's pretty much it. Anyway, so we have babes in the studio. Mm-hmm. Babes in the studio. Fools that they are. Can you imagine? Boy, I tell you, they don't know what they're in for today.
No idea what's going on.
Oh, my God. So anyway, let me move on for a second here. So we say dedicated to Harry, mm-hmm. who we all met, mm-hmm. and he was great down here, and he was
super
really
guy.
signed a bunch of books for me. I now have, now that, I guess the books are probably going to be worth some real, I probably ought to stick them on eBay. I got worth some real money now that he's got, you know, he signed them to me. Hi, Jimmy.
You should sign one and leave a blank. Hi. Mm.
Yeah, right. Hi. Right, exactly. So anyway, hi. And but it was we really had a good time, and he did well. Mm-hmm. And it was great. The Libertarian, that up until that point, that was the most well attended and most well accepted Libertarian state conference that had ever been held in the state of Florida.
And you put it on.
And yes, in fact, well, yeah, yes, I did. Thank you so much.
That's right. Congratulations.
Jimmy is now standing up, looking at his feet, shuffling his feet, and saying, shucks. Yeah. Right, exactly.
I
don't really deserve it, but I do want to thank all the Academy for you.
Oh, God,
that's this weekend, isn't it?
Yeah.
The self-congratulations
Awards?
Academy, do we really care?
Oh, God.
We should have talked.
We'll make a couple of comments about it.
We'll do a post-Academy Awards show. Listen for that next week.
Right, well, I guess we have to watch it then.
It's fun.
Okay. Well, I'll go watch it at your house with a sufficient amount of tour enhancement.
Yeah. There you go. That's right. A little television enhancement
fluid. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I love the new wall clock, by the way.
Oh, yes. That's exactly right.
We can tell we're dwelling on topics too long.
That's right. So anyway, let me move along here. Just a real quick thing before we get to the president and selling bombs to India.
Yeah, EJ and Curtis.
Oh, I'm sorry. EJ and Curtis, right. Forgot all about him.
Hey, yeah. Nice to see you, too.
Well, we didn't know your microphone was working. It flopped over. It got limp.
The flaccid mic is still on, whatever you think.
Your microphone got limp, and you had to erect it there so you could talk into it.
Well, I mean, it looks boing.
At least you got it up.
And we have,
that's right.
This is good. Yeah. And our counsel, Curtis.
Hey.
Yes. And I've got some, you have to listen to my CDs here that I won on eBay. Won some more stuff on eBay.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right,
love you. So anyway, Bortz, I checked. One of the things that we do is, of course, we steal from the best here. And we steal from Neil Bortz. We tried to steal from his website this morning, and guess what? Gone.
It wasn't there.
And it flipped over to one of those, would you like to buy this name?
Oh, this Ooh. Name
Can you
for
imagine?
Sale.
I mean, here it is. Here's a guy who probably gets, you know.
A million hits a day,
and he let it expire.
Oopsie.
Now, you don't suppose somebody is going to try and extort the name back. Can you imagine? So I went on WSB Radio, which is his flagship station, and right at the top it says, yes, we know it's off. Mm-hmm. We're going to have it back in 48 hours.
The phones
We're
ringing.
Gathering cash because it's going to cost us $5 million.
No, I mean, one of the reasons is that I did notice that the WSB website took about 20 minutes to load. Because everybody in the known universe accidentally tried to whip back.
You can tell which server they're on. There's a glowing line sitting there in the coming out of the server.
That's right. No, it's just pulsating. It's like the Whopper, you know. It's like the Whopper in war games, right? It's thumping along, and it's.
I don't need some silicone dial.
That's right.
Tell me
when to launch the rockets. That guy's so funny. So anyway, it's going to probably cost him a bit to get that rest. But I did notice that he had a guest host on today, which he never does.
Really?
Yeah. So the website goes down. Now, there's, I would say, conspiracy time, personally, except that I'm not a conspiracy type guy. But you notice that Neil Bortz disappeared the same day the website disappeared.
And Harry Brown.
And
Jimmy Potter.
And we're selling bombs to India.
And we got our Washington. And we got our Washington hit, too.
So Washington hit.
Yeah. So, Jimmy, you better watch out.
You better watch your back.
Holy smoke.
Somebody could be...
They're starting the brigade.
Yes. The pooch. Mm-hmm. Well, we are... Fortunately, we have lots of guns in this house. And, you know, we have a... This is not a kid's safe zone. We don't have a sign out here with those little hands on it say kid's safe. No.
It's more like ding dong.
Yeah! It is exactly that, and I'll tell you. Yeah. No, they don't
leave the cookies. That's
right. It's like what we do on Halloween. You know, when we dress up and scare the crap out of kids that come to our door.
Home Alone run. What?
That's right, and leaving candy on my front doorstep.
That's right.
We get more candy on Halloween than we give out.
No. Now, when you're gone, there's no one home to answer the door. A micro gun comes out and says, "Talk to the gun."
Now we do that.
I had a Hindu friend who I was trying to get to wear a backpack on Frontways for Halloween.
Oh, you know? Right. Good move.
He wouldn't do it.
Boy, shucks. Boy, what a shock. I remember one time you went as...
He was perfect.
Yeah, perfect, right. Well, you know, I remember one year you went as the Hulk.
Yeah.
Well, why didn't you dress up yourself, brown, as go as your Indian friend with your backpack on the front? Chicken.
Yeah, that's
what are you,
true.
Serious? Going to become the target?
Well, it's better to watch than to be. You like to watch the stuff blow up, especially when it's not you.
Spectator sport, man.
That's right. Not a participatory sport.
So Bort, he's going to be shelling out some dough for that?
Well, we won't find out till Monday.
Because the guy should ask for one of his planes.
They shouldn't put, "We'll be back up in 48 hours.
No, that's right.
Now the guy knows he's got it.
That's right. Now he knows. Yeah. But you know, it's interesting because they do, there is a lot of, I forget, there's a name for when you not hijack.
Squatting.
Is it squatting?
Well, that's when you register a name and you're in the hopes that somebody's going to buy it from you. But again, as we talked about, those situations don't always go for the person who is squatting. In other words, if you
try to do like GeneralElectric.com,
yeah,
they probably wouldn't let you
have
it.
The judge will come in and say, "You're not General Electric, Mr. Hobo."
George
and,
Bush.
About George Bush.
All your empty wine bottles are supposed to be in the hallway.
Right. Mick Jagger.
No, they're not empty. I'm sorry. They're all filled with a little yellow fluid.
Yeah, that's right.
So anyway, yeah. So, but some people have been successful. Like ABC. I've heard of some guy got like $1.2 million for ABC.com. Because,
well, you had to do it early on. They tightened it up,
right.
But of course, now they have the Fat Fingers.
Explain that one.
The Fat Fingers websites are the ones that there are those of us who are typonatally challenged.
Little sausages for fingers. Is
that's
that what it,
that's right. And so you basically
type
you
in Natalie. Jones.
That's right. You type, well, you know, you
put
you
that on a T-shirt.
Well,
that's on a T-shirt.
No, the problem is you're looking for the I'm gay website, and you type in I'm gat or something
right,
like
right,
that. You know, whatever's next to the Y, you know, the T or something like that.
Right.
So, you know, I'm gag.
Right.
You know, so anyway.
Oh, that would still be appropriate.
That's right.
Might get
so
to the same site, right.
That's right. Well, no,
so
but
the fat
but
fingers linked.
Right. Well, the thing is that you could be looking for the nun-whipping website, for instance,
right.
And you might end up on some.
I've been there. It's good.
And you might
end up the mum-whipping website.
That's right.
Completely different.
Completely different. Right. Yeah. So anyway, they basically, the Fat Finger websites are all over the place.
And these are basically, okay, so this is like
they're
Amazon. 99,
of course, 99.9 of them, of course, are porno sites.
Right.
Yeah,
or
right.
Shopping sites.
Yeah, they had the White House.
Yeah, the WhiteHouse.com. You know, WhiteHouse.gov was our White House, but WhiteHouse.com used to be a porn site.
Yeah.
And it was misprinted in some elementary school textbooks for the kids to go, "Write your president at WhiteHouse.com." They all went home and looked it up and it was like, you know...
we're going to talk about that. Of course, kids get suspended these days for looking at websites.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that. But so anyway, I just wanted to... I think we're about done with that.
Okay.
Unless you guys... I did want to...
Well, the Fat Fingers, though, but you didn't explain... You said there's something about eBay that they would go through...
Yes, oh, that's right. There's a... Cool, it's free. I think you go to fatfingers.com or something, and you type in something you want on eBay that uh-huh.
And it searches for permutations?
It searches for... Well, not permutations, but if somebody were to fat finger type it wrong... It knows, and it goes and looks for all the things. So I found a couple of things that were listed in the wrong category. And of course, the guy gets no bids on it, and you get it. You know, you get this $50 item for four. You win it for $4,
and then you get a present.
And you get a present. 5 days later, you get a present in the mail. That's right. I'm out of. All my stuff's been delivered. I'm really upset about that. I'm going to.
You gotta be kidding me.
No, it's just terrible.
Time to buy more.
Yep.
Time to go in there and bid for some more stuff.
And he's off.
So anyway, okay. So the other, as far as the international news is concerned, you want to talk a little about India?
Sure. It might be a good idea to bring them into the table.
That, which,
No, actually, it's.
No, no.
There we go.
Come on, baby.
Mideast update. That's right. Well, he went to India. And I noticed he's selling them nuclear bombs now. I mean, you know, Pakistan already had.
Nuclear.
I know, but they've reopened the trade in fusionable material
and intelligence
and technology.
Yeah.
I don't know if now is exactly the right time to.
Well,
be
you, notice, you can trust us. Just like, don't worry, the port deal is okay too. Don't worry.
Yes. Exactly. And so the question is that, and you notice he took off after he left India. He went to Pakistan. Of course, their mortal enemies have been. Over Kashmir, and he had to take a stealth ride. Did you hear about that?
No.
He had to. They landed at Karachi or wherever the hell it is in Pakistan or something. Air Force One. Here's a guy's got to be a pretty good pilot. They turned off all the lights on the airport. They turned off all the lights on Air Force One. Every landed in total blackness. No
instruments alone.
Let's
give that man some.
So it's going to be there for 24 hours.
Deserved applause.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, no, that must be. Can you imagine being the pilot on that and making a mistake? Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. President.
I'm going to try.
We were supposed to be at that airport over there.
Yeah.
This one surrounded by all the militiamen that are not ours. Oops.
As they fired all holes in our fuel tanks.
Yeah. No, well, they have, of course, the Air Force One's got anti-whatever
it's
it is.
It's got anti-everything.
Yeah, yeah. The best of all. Yeah. Plus the escort, so I'm not worried about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, so...
So the question is, we're selling, they're reopening all this stuff, and Congress has to approve a bunch of it. I don't know if that's going to take the Dubai stuff off the front page, or, of course, I don't know.
He's open.
Huh?
He's open.
He's open.
Yeah, I guess. Anything to... of course, he's got his low...
Pay no attention to
rating.
The man behind the curtain.
I tell you what, if I was an Iraqi terrorist... I would want to be a UN's weapon inspector.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be the job to have.
Yeah.
Because then you get into everybody's nuclear reactor.
Yeah.
You get to see exactly how it's all done.
They'd probably do it. I'm guessing they might do it.
Muhammad al-Baradei.
They might do a background check on those people.
Oh, yeah.
You think? I don't know. They run something. Run a credit check at least.
Who vets the vetters?
That's true. Of course, that's one of the things that we've always said about government is who guards the guardians.
Poor deal, bad.
Who inspects the, whatever. I don't know. So anyway, he said...
We don't need no stinking podcast. Oh, no.
That's right. I know. It's great. No, that's right. They don't need
everything.
No, it does. It's a classic. And you can tell by the accent they're Americans.
Born and raised.
Born and raised. That's right.
Born in East L.A.
I was talking to my cousin the other day, my sister-in-law the other day, and she was bemoaning the number of Mexicanos in Southern California. Mm. And I thought it was interesting in the newspaper, I'm switching subjects now, that one of the fastest growing counties in, which is the poorest county of counties that are over 250,000 people or something like that, this poorest county in the United States is Southern Texas, where McAllen, Texas is. It's right across the border from Mexico. So that
I've been there.
Have you?
Really?
Yeah. A friend of mine, Joel, lives there.
Really? We did a show there. We did a show.
We did a show there. We did a gig.
I played the Red Bull.
I played the Red Bull there.
So anyway, I was supposed to go there for a balloon race one time, but they all drifted over the border or something. I don't know.
I can see the Mexican coming chasing you with their balloons.
Yeah,
the Mexican balloons.
Here they come, man. That's it.
Well, you'll figure about it. If those balloons land in Mexico, you got propane and fabric and food.
That's practically a town.
Yeah, that's it.
The passengers.
That's right. That's it. So no problem at all.
You could make a whole Mexican village out of one balloon.
Well, so anyway, it turns out they're putting like Saks Fifth Avenue, Tiffany's, The Gap, all those huge places are Bulgari, all these, Gucci. They're all opening up stores in McAllen, Texas. Whoa, wait. Poorest county. Turns out that all of the middle and upper class Mexicans don't want to shop in Mexico. They want to shop in the United States because they say there's less red tape. So they
cleaner bathrooms,
I guess. And they all come across and they shop in McAllen, Texas, and then go back home. It's all legal. Everything perfectly.
But Andorra in Europe is a place. Like,
yeah, Andorra, right? Same kind of thing. Exactly right. In the Pyrenees there.
Now I wonder if they switched over to the fair tax, whether that would stifle that entire economy there.
That's a good question. They have said, and that's a good point. Let's switch from McAllen, Texas, to the fair tax.
Click.
yep, that's right. I gave a little talk Eric was with me. I gave a little talk to the Exchange Club.
Where was this?
At the Exchange Club here in town. I did their luncheon thing. I gave a 15-minute talk on the fare tax, and I had brought over a little, And, well, they it was pretty well received, I think, don't you think, Eric?
They're still around. This is Emma Pauling now.
That's right.
Yeah. They were
you can hear them.
Yeah.
They're still laughing.
You left.
It was great. You did a great job.
I thought it was okay. I thought, and I got a.
We taped it too.
Oh, we did. We have to. That's right. In fact, I've got it around here somewhere.
I got it. Yeah, I want to listen because I taped the one from the table, and you could hear everybody squawking about stuff. So I want to hear like their. You want you to hear their little banter and their little questions.
Well, what I did in the one when I cut it up here, I did cut off the first part, and I made it in two pieces, in other words, so I've got that.
We very well may post that.
One guy, yeah, I know.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
this one guy, and I didn't think of this one thing. He says, well, why should you vote Libertarian? Because, you know, your vote's not going to count. And I said, well, actually, it's one of those things to where when you vote Libertarian, a lot of people think the way that you do, so they vote, you know, some other way, but they really would kind of want to vote that way. So your vote really is, for every one person that votes, you're really, it's like 10,000 other people, you know. So in other words, when they see those percentages rise up, the politicians kind of get an idea that, well, maybe the country is kind of moving in this direction a little bit.
And
that's why.
And they'll switch.
And they'll switch.
As they say, I need to run out in front of the parade because, you know, when I'm a leader, so I need to excuse me while I go out and get in front of the parade or something.
And he goes, well, maybe I didn't explain it right. Like, if you're driving down a road and there's a car in the other lane and you decide you're either going to stick to your values and hit that car straight on and die or swerve off the road. And I said, okay, the last time I checked, voting wasn't a death penalty for that. Okay. I mean, just let's get a little different analogy.
Well, I mean, it's not certain death when you vote. Okay?
This is the
we're not in this country.
Right. Well, that's true.
At some other places you could get a bomb laid outside or whatever it is. No, let me tell you, there's a couple things I'm going to digress just for a second onto this. I guess this is kind of the same thing in a way. And I did mention this, I think. The fare tax is one of those things that doesn't have a small vocal constituency. In fact, it would be good for, unfortunately, for everybody except IRS employees, K Street lobbyists, and H&R Block or somebody. I don't know that everybody else. And of course, needless to say, H&R Block is going to muster, 5,000 people to march on Washington and say, keep the 7 million.
5,000?
Or whatever number. It doesn't matter. The K Street guys are going to be bribing people right and left, as is well known, to keep the current law because the 7 million words is more than none. And so they
7 million words as far as the IRS goes.
Yeah, well,
and how many was the Constitution?
7,000.
Right.
And so there's 1,000 times more words in the tax code. And you think about it, there are 9 geniuses on the Supreme Court that cannot come to a conclusion on what the Constitution means. Think about it. Do you think that anybody knows what's in 7 million words if you can't figure out what's in 7,000? So, enough said. So they want to basically the fare tax would throw all that out. And would it change things in McAllen, Texas? It might. Again, you can't have a revenue-neutral program. That is, you can't raise $2.7 trillion one way and then raise it another way and not have somebody get hurt. So it's going to happen. But the fact is there's a lot of extra money that's going to show up here that's not taxed today. And people are always worried about the poor people. That's been addressed. A lot of that stuff has already been addressed. So anyway, we chatted about that. And as far as the libertarian voting concern, one of the things that is, as I explained to these people, and I gave them all like address labels so they could write to Martinez and their...
Did they pick a bunch of those up?
Yeah, they picked a bunch of stuff and the cheat sheets that go along with it. I said to them, one of the things you realize, here's your representative represents, I don't know, a couple hundred thousand, million people. No, let's see. We have I think each representative must represent, I'm guessing, 750,000 people. If they get 100 letters written on a subject, that is a landslide. That is that is a mandate.
Right.
Yeah.
Wrong.
And I'm talking about that's a mandate. If you can write, if you can find 100 people to sit down and actually write a letter that's different, they know when it's a form letter or it's email if you get 100 people to actually put a stamp today, a 39-cent stamp on a thing and address it. As far as they're concerned, that's it. Done. And El Finito, that is equivalent to almost everybody in their district.
Pretty much represent somebody in every neighborhood.
Well,
that's
not all. I mean, the point is that so few people write. It is a preponderance. It's an amazing. And, of course, this is what the H&R Block people and so forth count on. In other words, if you can marshal your group your K Street group or whatever it is, or your H&R Block people to all write letters as far as they're concerned. That's the letters that they're going to go with, even though it's wrong. As far as they're concerned, it's a mandate. So that's the kind of thing. Classic. Well, unfortunately, there is no small vocal group that is for the fair tax. This has to be one of those things called certified grassroots efforts, or it's not going to get in.
This is the classic Nunwhippers analogy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. This is, we talked about that. Have we talked about that?
Wait. You mean if we get, if we turn it to a fair tax, I can whip nuns?
Is that not, no. I don't understand. You can do that now.
Okay. So we don't have to wait.
No. No, you don't.
I'd be in trouble.
Jimmy, explain the Nunwhippers real quick.
Okay, the Nunwhippers is, we've always said that if you passed a law here in Gainesville that made for whipping of nuns on the courthouse square noon every Sunday, and that sometime after, 6 months or a year or something, people decided this wasn't such a good idea and they're going to repeal the law, you would find that there would be some people that would go down there and say, whoa, let's not be so hasty about this. Let's let's examine this a little closer. There's always somebody that benefits from any law. And those
people.
The whip makers.
That's right.
The
poor executioners. Or
the homeless
the
people. The homeless people have their Sunday entertainment.
Right.
They're going to be down
some
there.
Some of the nuns that enjoy it.
Yeah, the
that's
nuns,
right.
Kinky
nuns. So there are going to be some people. People definitely that are going to go down there, and this is what we call
and spectators. Don't forget them.
The hot dog vendors.
That's right. Hot dog vendors. Mm.
Yeah.
Those
that's
guys.
True. Yeah.
So there's going to be people that are going to say, "Wait a minute, this is good for business having the." And that small vocal, minority will go down and try and keep it in place. And this is one of the reasons why the little platitude is there's nothing so permanent as a temporary government program. And this is what happens. So
and the income tax itself,
right? Well, the income tax. Well, talking about tax. One of the things that's funny is the excise. There's not income tax. There's an excise tax on telephone, on long-distance telephone. It's like $3 a person or something like that. I forget what it is. It was passed during the Spanish-American War to fund the Spanish-American War.
Yeah. Okay?
Now, I don't know about you, but
is that war over?
I think it is.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
It's part of the bigger war on terror.
That's right. That's right. The war on the Spaniards, yeah. That's,
hey, George! Welcome to the show, President George.
That's right. No, seriously, that tax is still... The Spanish-American War communication surtax is... Now, think about it. Why it got passed like in the late 1800s. There were about 9 phones in the United States at the time, and so those people had to pay this tax in order to fund the...
Actually, it was more like...
No, it wasn't. It was, hello, Harriet, get me John. No, there was nothing. If you wanted to call long distance, it was better to go outside and holler.
Cups and string, baby.
No, I'm serious. Think about it. In the late 1800s, I don't know what they did for how they did it, but I can tell you that there was a lot of screaming going on.
They didn't have the internet?
Because they didn't have, not only that, they didn't even have amplifiers. If you can imagine. I mean, no boom boxes, no nothing. Mm. No speakers. Mm. Nothing. I mean, you literally had to scream into the... Anyway, the point is there was this surtax on telephones or telephone conversations or whatever still today. So they were supposed to raise off these 9 or 10 or 112 telephones or whatever it is to pay for Teddy to, run up San Juan Hill or whatever, Rough Rider, so forth and so on. That's over.
And
now there are more than 9 phones in the United States, and they all
and they still are taxed?
And they're still taxed with this special tax. So again,
most expensive
temporary
war.
Temporary program.
So if all of our listeners wrote an actual letter about the temporary program tax and sent it in to, do you think they'd repeal it?
Yeah, they would.
Really?
Yeah. Well, that's all of our listener. That's the problem.
No, there's more than one hanger dog.
That's right. That's true. But of course, we have to assume that they know how to write.
I mean,
those guys know how to write.
Yeah.
Well,
when they're sober.
Yeah, that's the other problem. That's the other little minor problem. That letter may go astray. You have to be able to read the address and. So they don't want to confuse that. Anyway, we gave a talk on the fair tax, and we did pretty well. Had a good time with it, and maybe we'll get some action on that. But anyway, to our listener or two out there, if you get a chance, seriously, you ought to look up. It's easy enough these days to get the address of your representative off the web, but it's not going to get done. A lot of times what happens is, on a lot of these things, when you think about it, the Reagan Revolution, as they say, started in 1964 and took 25 years. Took Newt, when they took over the Congress, was in 1995. It was 30 years is what it was before there was that. What started in 1964.
What started it?
Goldwater. Goldwater was the original conservative, National Review and all that stuff. Of course, Goldwater got whumped up on by one ad.
Yeah.
The little girl picking the thing, and they've
flower,
used that. Yeah, that was great.
The nuclear bomb in the background.
That's it. So anyway, that's that. So we want to.
What's the quote? If they said, if I voted for Goldwater.
Oh, right. No, that's yeah. If I voted for Goldwater. Let's see. No. They said, if I voted for Goldwater, we'd go to war in Vietnam, send a million men over there, and start bombing Laos. And sure enough, I voted for Goldwater, and that's what happened. So anyway, yeah. They did a lot of the same thing here with, you know, if I voted for John Kerry, our taxes would go up and we'd have a war in Iraq and everything else. And I did vote for John Kerry, and sure enough, that's what happened. So, you know.
All right. So what do we got next?
That's
you're for the fair tax.
you know, it's funny because when I was giving this talk, the thing that had struck the biggest chord, uh-huh, the hardest, was elimination of the IRS. A lot of people don't realize the IRS agents are allowed to carry guns.
Oh, yeah?
Why would that be? He
to shoot you. What do you think?
But you know, if you don't, that's one of the things when you think
it's
about
robbery,
tax,
man, they are robbers. And so they have guns. I mean, it's legitimized, legalized.
That's right.
Robbery.
That's right.
And it's, they come to you with a gun.
You think?
Take your house.
Well,
your wife.
You got to have some taxes.
Of course.
Yeah,
you don't have to have the IRS, though.
But should they ever be able to take your
house? No, that's the whole point. You don't have to have the IRS.
If you haven't paid a tax?
I don't think they can here in Florida.
Yeah, they can't. If you live there.
If you live there, they pretty much. Of course, that was one of the things that they're trying to repeal here in Florida. In most states, your house can't be worth more than XYZ amount of dollars, but here in Florida, it could be. So they were having these multi-billionaires showing up down here, buying up 30 acres on Palm Beach, you know, in a $40 million mansion, then going bankrupt. You know,
stockpile of food.
In
the walk-in fridge.
That's it. That's
freeze-dried
right.
scrambled eggs.
Yeah, that's right. And freeze-dried strawberry ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Nitrogen compact.
Ladies and gentlemen, yours on eBay, freeze-dried ice cream.
Well, it might be worth something. I don't know. Well, the other thing is that labels have long since wilted off of these things. So
you're not, it's a surprise.
No, that's right.
This it could be ice cream. It could be scrambled eggs.
Oh, yeah. It could be filet mignon.
That's right. And it could be crepe. Crepes.
It could be lizard droppings.
That's right.
I bet EJ could make it taste good.
There you go. Yeah, that's right. Enough chocolate on it.
There you go.
You make anything taste good. Drawn chocolate.
That's it. So anyway, the only other thing, the other thing that we want to chat about, I guess maybe, was the fact that kids get suspended from school today for watching the internet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're suspending kids across the nation, really, for stuff that they actually post on the internet. Like, that is to say, you post a site that says, I hate Susie and wish your head would get squashed by a car or something. And if you do that, you get suspended, even though you didn't do it on a school computer, you were at home.
Right.
Right. If Susie's in the class, or if they say it presents any disruption to the class.
Well, even if it's not Susie, even if it's somebody that they think could be related to that. I mean, that is to say you do a pseudonym.
Oh, right.
Poozy.
Yeah, Jim.
And a picture
Missy.
Of her. And a slightly, slightly altered website picture of her. Well, you know what's interesting is that the kid that actually did it, they want to charge him with a hate crime.
Oh my God!
Yeah, they actually arrested him. And then the 20 kids that actually I don't know how they found out, but they found 20 kids that actually went and looked at the website.
Well, apparently it was sort of a sign up thing, and that's I think why they got suspended, because the name of the website was like, I want to squash Susie's head or something, and so in order to
this is
watch
a bomb,
it,
you know?
Right, exactly.
What the hell are these people thinking?
Yeah. Well,
I guess we don't want to do a picture of
you. You don't want to be a kid these days.
No. That's right. No, well,
if you're not a kid now, don't be a kid.
That's right. Well, there was also the kid that they hauled into they detained him, as they say, for a while. He rode his bike to school. He, obviously not 16. I mean, I don't know what he's 14 years old. I think he was a fifth grader. Rode his bike to school.
Handcuffs.
Okay, right. He rode his bike to school, and he parked it, and it turned out that on his bar, I don't think it was on the handlebar, but on the guy's bar, the ball bar, whatever you call it, ball buster bar. That's it.
The guy bar.
Whatever.
I mean, who designed that?
No, I have never understood why girls and boys' bikes weren't reversed.
Exactly.
I never have understood that. What were they thinking? You know, I mean, just, you know, I'm a man, and I got my nuts crushed on a bike. Exactly. No. So anyway, the deal is that he had a little bumper stick, bar sticker, or whatever, that said something like, "I love there's a bomb in here," or something like that. I mean, can you imagine? You know, first of all, here's a 15-year-old kid. He's riding to school on his bicycle, and he's got a sticker on there that says, "There's a bomb in here." Uh-huh. Now, Do you believe it? Okay. So what they did is they called in the SWAT team.
Right.
And they got the Jaws of Death thing, and they took the bike apart. they split the... Exactly.
No. I mean...
They took it,
as if
they
it, as if it might not explode when they're trying to,
well,
if it were a real bomb.
Again? Who knows?
They knew what was going on.
Bait on
they
it just with destroyed his hammer.
It to, but just to, so, then, just they, smack him then about. It turned out that that's the name of either his or some band that he likes. Nah. There's a band out there called I'm the Bomb or something like that.
I'm the Bomb.
I mean, you know, and they've got a website, imthebomb.com.
Oh, yeah, they play at the Red Bull.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be the next Thursday, ladies and gentlemen. 9 p.m.
So, yeah. We'll be there with the bicycles and bombs.
Took it apart.
Yeah, you know, that's the name of our band. Bicycles and bombs, okay?
That's right. BYOBB.
That's right. Bring your own
Boris
bicycle bomb.
Boris and Natasha t-shirts.
That should be the way the suicide bombers do it these days. They just kind of bicycle in there. You know, that's, yeah. That's,
yeah, and you could make four or five pipe bombs out of one bike.
Yep.
Well, you don't want to
learn to blow off his legs, at least.
I guess it...
He may not get his virgins, but... Yeah,
there's a danger you're going to hit a bump on the way to your bomb site.
That's
you know?
True. Right. That's true. Yeah, over there, I would guess.
Hit by a car, yeah.
Or
no
a flat
those
tire,
roads,
can you imagine, as the fuse is burning down. You're trying to change that tire in a hurry.
My this vehicle has been impaired.
That's right. So anyway, and I'm going to talk about this on another podcast. I just got something from the Milton and Rose Friedman Foundation about education. They're big on vouchers, which I'm not, because vouchers are still run by the state, which is amazing. As we talked about before, they're trying to indoctrinate the kids now as early as 2 and 3 and 4 years old. They're trying to get them in. They call it free education, but it's free indoctrination. Anyway, they sent me this brochure. What does it actually cost to educate a kid in the government-run, state-run schools here in Florida? And, of course, there's a lot of misinformation put out by the state. Anyway, they've done a lot of research on this, and as it turns out, as you would figure in this county, it's about $7,000. That's not including the capital costs. That's just the actual student cost.
Well, you have to include the capital costs.
Well, that runs it up to about $11,000 per student. But, I mean, I'm saying, of course you do. But what we're talking about is, take away that for a minute. What are you actually spending? Well, of course, it's fascinating to me, and I've said this before. They're all panic-stricken about giving out vouchers for $3,500 or $4,000 per student. And the way I look at it is, if they were smart, which, of course, is making a big leap, what they would do is they'd put everybody on vouchers, and they would have $3,000 per student left over to, you know, I mean,
retire.
Hello. I'm talking 90-footer down in the Caribbean, hot and cold running, you know, young people, whatever. You know, I'm talking about a certified liquor stash with no freeze-dried food. So, that's right. I might go off the wagon on that one. I'll tell you. On the boat, as we call it.
Right.
So, anyway, we're gonna talk about that. Anything else you got? I'm done.
The SS Dome.
That's right. You heard it here first. We're having our little... It's our...
Chateau de Chatelet on the promenade deck.
On the promenade deck, right. We're saving up for our dinghy. Our 212-foot dinghy.
Light notes?
I got light notes if you guys are done.
Done.
Yep.
Finished?
Moving on.
Okay.
Pause button.
Actually, I don't know if I'm going to use this or not, but living people on living tender. Did you see that? Somebody... Jack Nicholson has got his face on a $5 bill in Scotland.
No
way, right on.
Seriously, like legal tender.
A $5 bill?
A $5 note.
Probably not.
Pounds.
Royal Bank of Scotland. Yeah, apparently there's a few people here that are, I mean, because one...
In Scotland, they should have put, what's his name on there? Braveheart.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah,
Mel. He was on
they
every...
Put Adam Smith on there.
Well, they should,
put.
But of course, they're
no
socialist.
Shit.
Yeah,
that's who they should have.
You really should. But no,
or James Doohan.
Yeah.
Or George Sutherland.
Or David Hume.
Or Jimmy Dillon.
That's right. Or Jimmy Dillon. That's right.
Jimmy Dillon. That may still happen. About 30 years to get your face on a bill.
Could happen.
Or roll of toilet paper.
Yeah, because that's usually the downer side about having your face on the money. Usually you're dead.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Well, that's right. But we need to change that part. I always wanted to come to my own funeral like Huck Finn, didn't you? That'd be crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what I want him to say at my funeral?
What's that?
Look, he's moving.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
He's alive!
That's the best thing anybody could say.
We poured Tanqueray in there instead of embalming fluid. Look what happened.
He's a happy man.
He completely revived and he's de-aged 20 years.
Hey, look, he's getting younger. And he smells sweetly of juniper. Lovely.
So Sir Edmund Hillary has got his face on a New Zealand $5 bill.
But he
Benedict
did.
Elijah Wood. I don't know. That's about it.
Just put Harry Brown on an Austrian bill or something.
Yeah, see, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, so that's it. Jessica Alba may sue Playboy on cover.
Oh, that's right.
I don't understand how she can possibly do this. She wants them to pull the March issue. I'm sorry, isn't it March? Isn't it like the Playboy
issue? Too late. They're gonna have the cops go to your houses.
It goes out in like January, like a month and a half before.
Oh, yeah, it's
dude,
like,
I've been stewing your copies for the last month.
The last March issue is taken off the stands in March.
Right.
I don't mean they're ahead of the game, but that's what it means.
On March 1st, it was a bad, it was a bad issue.
So she was rated as, you know, some kind of 25 sexiest celebrity.
She is.
Yeah, I know. She's bad.
Man, super
anyway,
babe.
So the thing is that, so she's suing for damages or something. It's like,
what are the damages?
Want to get their, I mean, right. I mean, your career can only go up. Well, she's going, people might think that I'm nude in here and I'm just going to hurt my reputation. It's like, your reputation is a sex star.
Yeah.
you don't get a huge credit. You're not going to be out there receiving your Oscar, babe. You're in a bikini, and that's what people want to see.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Take your money and...
Take your money and run.
That's right.
Go to have fun in the mansion. See, she's not going to get invited to mansion parties. How stupid is that?
Yeah, that...
That's harsh.
Yeah, that's harsh.
I don't know. Yeah, he'll forgive her. Trust me. She wants to come crawling back.
This is a good one. Curtis, I emailed you this a little earlier this week. Did you see that the Chicago police are posting photos of men who solicit hookers?
Did you get the link I sent you on that?
Yes.
I downloaded... There's like 50 or 60 of them on there, right, or more.
But my question for Curtis was they're doing this if they're just accused. They're not convicted or anything. So suspect. Yeah.
Alleged. Is that legal, Mamo?
That's what I was asking.
I've been telling people, hey, if Martha Stewart can go to prison,
anybody can go to prison.
Well, they if you went through and looked at the people that were there, I mean, it was quite a collection. Most of them were.
They were societies.
Top. Leave it this way.
Holding onto the brass ring.
I didn't see a lot of tuxedos.
No.
You mean, was Mayor Quimby there?
Yeah.
Quimby.
Yeah, that's what I would have done.
And if I was there.
I would have done on that. I would have put Quimby's picture.
You know what we're going to do? Okay, well, we're going to take that. We're
that's a good idea, EJ.
No, we're going to Photoshop that on and we'll put it on our website. We'll link to it. That'll be perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah, okay, that's exactly
I wasn't there. And if I was there, I wasn't doing that. And if I was, it wasn't me.
And if you have pictures of me with a girl, that's not me. And that's not a girl.
Oh, my God.
And I won't do it again.
And if it would have been me,
yeah, right? Because right.
I'm tired from doing all this.
And of course, remember the song. What, Joseph, I had no idea.
Come on now, you were working there.
We put the spring in Springfield.
Oh, I got that.
Yep, I can play that one for us somewhere. Some later time. Put it on the end of the show. Live lingerie show stopped after model is threatened. This really sucks.
What? Yeah, no, that was in the windows, wasn't it?
They were doing live.
I heard
live
they were
models.
Putting on the show. It was going over well.
Augusta, Maine, and basically, they were modeling lingerie in this window, and they had some vocal Christian group came out there.
The prudes, the blue hair prudes, came out and said, "This is just terrible for the children."
So they went and they slashed her tires and had violent threats and all the stuff. So
the Christian group went and
slashed
her.
The Christian group threatened to kill her. We will smite thee with locusts
and
because
plague.
God told us to.
That's right. And then we'll start with your tires.
The model, some of the, like this girl Tara, she said she was 20. She said, it was really fun. I'm really glad I did it, and I'm sad it's done with. So,
Did you hear they're going to make a Catholic city?
They'll make a movie out of that.
In Florida?
Yes. The founder of Papa John's.
No, not Papa John's.
Domino's.
Is it Domino's?
Yeah. Domino's?
He's bought like 5 or 10,000 acres, about 50 miles east of Naples, and he wants to set up a whole new city that's a Catholic, totally Catholic, religious fundamentalist, city. And
so party town?
Yeah.
No.
Is this the next Mardi Gras stop?
I doubt it.
After it crashes because nobody lives there. Yeah.
Well, no. It, even if he does, I mean, even if he
when
gets
you get done,
they tried
to
that before.
Driving.
That's what Baker. Yeah, that's what Jim Baker went to jail for. Was his city that they sold three times over or four times over, something like that. Mm. Oversold.
Oh, is that what you're saying?
I think he was the guy that sold shares of one of those
Jim and Tammy thing.
Jim and Tammy Faye Baker, is that what you're talking about?
I think so. I think it was them. I think it was them. They were coming. They were putting together a commune-like thing, big thing, whatever it was, and I think that they sold, you know, 200% of the shares or something like that.
The Lord told me, he said, Jimmy, sell it twice.
That's right.
And keep thine profits.
Hide thine profits from the men.
She's like, it's real hot.
A little hot, a little hot.
Okay, well, that is, I guess that's where the word profits come from.
Profits, right.
So the first profits were profits.
It just dawned on me. Of course.
Duh.
This is a duh if I ever saw it.
Because as soon as he died, they started profiting.
Perfect. Oh. Yeah, they walk around and they profit. Exactly.
The profit profits.
Yep. Like reason that. 762 not to have children. Boy sticks gum on $1.5 million museum painting.
Yeah, I saw that. Did you see that stupid painting?
No, I didn't
see it. Like,
is that one of them that you want to do in the
loop? Oh, no, this is absolutely. This is straight out of the
Modern Art Museum.
Exactly.
So you almost didn't realize it was gum.
No, no, literally. No, literally. It looks,
made it better.
It made it better. The kid probably thought everybody was sticking their gum on there.
Right.
I mean, it looked so bad. It literally looked like somebody took a paint bucket and threw it at the wall.
Right.
And
I've seen that so many times.
And what's to say they didn't?
They probably did. 1.5 million. 1.5.
That's
right. You'll pay me now.
That's right. I hear 1.4. 1.1. Sold. 1.5 million.
1.5 million. That's because we went to the Paris
bucket.
Modern Museum.
And we have a picture of Curtis there.
Yeah, Curtis wanted to go in there and just, what are you going to put, like a bicycle wheel or something?
No, we had a drawing from a 5-year old.
A scribble from a five year old. We're going to do is we're going to walk in there, you know, stiff legged because it was going to be wrapped around our. And then when one of the guards wasn't looking. And we were going to put it up on the wall, you know, with a little sign that says,
right, it's a little plaque. Imagination. Imagination will do LTM.
That's right. Something like that. And then get a picture of somebody, you know, there. There's so many things you could do with that.
Right.
And then see how long it takes them to take it down. You know, come back next year, it's still up.
Right. And then it'd be worth something.
Oh, God,
it was the one that was up there the longest.
That's right.
And if you try to take it back, they arrest you for stealing
art.
That's
right, for stealing art. Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly right. For what?
That's mine.
Oh, right.
No, literally, I'm convinced somebody's already done that with most of the stuff in there.
I tell you the truth. As obvious as it sounds, I would not be a bit surprised that we could be the first.
Man, that place, what a bunch of
junk. What a maroon. Yeah.
God. I mean, they did a good job on the building, but that's about it.
Seriously, man.
Oh, nice frame, though. You know?
This is kind of cute. Well, of course, did you see Peter Paul is up there fighting the seal hunt in Canada?
Yes. Peter Paul and Heather McCartney.
Peter Paul McCartney.
Really?
They're going up there under the auspices of, like,
Greenpeace or somebody.
Yeah,
or?
No, don't kill them. Yeah, but as soon as everybody leaves, they're going to pull up some seals themselves. She's been wanting a seal fur coat.
I can prove it, because Paul.
Happiness. Yep, there we go. See? I'm telling you, man.
Sex. Where did you find that?
Is that off the White Album?
Yeah.
Happiness is a warm gun.
See, he's going to see you.
And he's
a ruse. Nobody can
do me nothing. Come here, little seal.
I told you. It's a warm gun. I just didn't realize he'd had it playing in his lungs.
Wow. Yep. So anyway, that's his little deal.
Some men hunt for sport.
Yeah, right.
For food.
Yeah, that's
the only thing I'm hunting for is an outfit that looks good.
Oh, I love that. See my best.
See my seals. See my seals. I just clubbed it last
week. We'll have to play that song.
Oh, yeah. We'll rewrite it with the seal in there. I like that.
Yeah, we'll launch a couple songs at the end of this show in case anybody wants to hear them, because we have no fear of getting sued.
No, we're hoping. We're begging them.
Sue
them. Tell all your star friends.
That's right.
We're ripping them off.
You went to see Rick Springfield last night.
Yes,
didn't you?
I did.
He put on a good show?
Rick puts on a great show.
That's why he's a bajillionaire.
Yeah, it is. And he deserves to be, man. I mean, he puts on a good show.
He wanked on it?
He was like Mick Jagger out there. I mean,
really?
He was entertaining. Now,
is he related to Bruce Springsteen?
They're twins.
Okay. Okay.
They're the same person. It just depends on which band they're playing with.
That's right.
Which side are you looking at? Which profile?
That's cool. How about this one? I like this. Matt Heller is in the horn business. He does car,
he's
truck,
horny.
And boat horn. Yeah, he's horny. He has hornblasters.com, and he sells ear-splitting horns. Wow. But and he also sells videos of people startled by them. You know, how cool is that? I mean, he's got his thing. It's like, you know...
But well, no, he said, he said what he said was that they use them, apparently, people that are upset with the boombox crowd that comes by, you know, those people that got the 1,000 watts in their car, it's all bass. So when you have this particular horn that's like 130 dB, right. You know, it's, let me put it this way, it melts the guy's car, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, here's
right
the
right out
deal.
Of the mask there.
No. I love the quote here. I mean, it's almost like you have to read this thing.
Leaves the shadow of the boy.
Sustained exposure to a music or bulldozer idling can damage hearing. That's about 85 decibels. The sound of a jet taking off from 80 feet away measures 150 decibels. Wow. Peller's loudest horns are just a bit louder than that.
No, can you? I mean, can you imagine that? Here's a guy that spent all his money on his big woofer type speakers in his car, right. And you come up and you basically the cone goes away. It goes right back into.
It shatters
the windows and the cone in the speaker. There's no. It just.
Yeah, you have to bulletproof glass on your car.
Huh?
For your car, you probably have to bulletproof glass.
Well, no, I'm sure it's aimed. I'm sure it's aimed.
Right.
It's like a shape charge. That's right.
This is great. He goes, it causes grown men to jump in the air literally like cartoon characters. He's making a full-length hidden camera DVD showing people startled by the sound of a train bearing down him. He calls it Terror on the Streets.
I love it.
There's excerpts on hornblasters.com if you go and check it out. And he's apparently been on the Comedy Central, The Daily Show.
Not twice.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. All I wanted to say...
When they have to replace all their Neumann mics.
Right. He's in Tampa, actually. Tampa, Florida. It's Pete's Automotive. They're the ones that put some of the stuff in. Anyway, apparently, like, these horns can... You know, they range anywhere from, like, $42.95 to... The big loud one is called the Nathan Airchime K5, starting at...
the name like that, give me a break.
$1,649. They'll hear you coming for miles, the godfather of all train
They'll
horns.
They'll hear you coming for miles.
The loudest thing I've ever heard, that's what he says. So,
okay,
wow. And apparently, the Tampa police has figured this out. they say that the no horn or other warning device shall emit an unusually loud or harsh sound or whistle. But apparently the fine's about $73.50.
So it's worth it to him to
it's
get a couple.
It.
Yeah,
get it's worth say, cause,
you know,
it. Yeah,
because
you
know, you
exactly.
Ass,
well, you know,
in fact, the other is to see how many times you can get the $73
fine. I never really thought about it, but that would be real fun. No. You know,
well, can you get in the smaller bullhorn type of, you know, air horn? You go right up next to somebody.
No,
you want the tugboat horn.
They put a sizable compressor and an air tank in your car.
I'm guessing then that means no.
I mean,
you want the light.
Not a little
sword.
Portable.
No, yeah, exactly. You want something that would turn the Queen Mary away.
Exactly.
I don't know what that was, but it turned around.
Come on, little man. Back to Europe.
I guess it's full of them. It just keeps us out.
I guess they're full. I mean, seriously. I mean, that's a good one.
Fun.
The last thing I got here, Scottish Distillery revives 184-proof whiskey. The Scottish Distillery said...
Whoa, no, wait. Whoa.
Yeah. The Scottish Distillery revives 184-proof
whiskey. That is not whiskey.
No, it's not. In fact, a Scottish distillery said Monday it was reviving a centuries-old recipe for whiskey so strong that one 17th-century writer feared more than two spoonfuls could be lethal.
Well, you know, you think about it for a second. I don't know if you know this, but it's 200-proof, of course, is pure alcohol.
Pure alcohol. Right.
Okay. It turns out that for all intents and purposes, you can't much get above 190 because pure alcohol absorbs water so quickly from the air. It's like a desiccant. I mean, it's just like that. It absorbs water.
So as soon as you open the bottle, it's no longer 100-proof.
No, it's not 200-proof, actually.
That's 100-proof, right?
Or 100%, right.
100% is what I
meant. The strongest commercially that you can get, of course, got the 151 rum.
Everclear, it's right. One.
And that, no. And I think past that, it's...
There's a 191.
There's an Everclear that's...
There's
really?
A 190.
Grain alcohol?
Yeah. Oh, it's alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, right. No, but he's called
this
whiskey.
No, it's a drink.
No, bullshit.
Yeah, no,
grain alcohol.
I call bullshit.
It's used in punches and jello shots around the country.
But that's alcohol.
White Lightning.
But at 191, it's got to have food coloring in it. I'm telling you, it's got to be pure. You can't. In other words, once you get past
I remember we when the bottle was empty, we lit the took a little lighter, held it up to the end of the thing, and it shot like just about. It was like a jet.
The first time
you do
it
know
burned some guy's eyebrows off, man. It was really cool.
Well, you do know why what it all came from, proof and all that stuff, right? That 100 proof.
Because you had to prove that it was...
Right. And 100 proof is will actually burn.
Right.
But that's the way they used to test the whiskey, was they take a match to it, and if it burned, then it was 100 proof.
If it explodes...
Then it's more than that.
It's worth $695 a bottle, apparently.
Yeah. Whoa.
That's what they're getting for this stuff. That's this guy, Jim McEwen, produces the single most alcoholic single malt ever made. 92%. Yep. Anyway, he's... let's see. There's something else in here that was kind of interesting. The 16th century or 17th century writer said, two spoonfuls of this last liquor is a sufficient dose. If any man should exceed this, it would presently stop his breath and endanger his life.
Stop his breath.
And then he has somebody, Rainier Martins, tested the claim and consumed three spoonfuls. I can tell you, I had some and indeed did take my breath away.
Now I get it. Kind of grabs you by the boo-boo. That's what you mean.
Grabs you by the boo-boo.
Ha, ha, ha.
Anyway, this guy's got this foundry was distilled. His distillery founded in 1881. He planned to make 5,000 bottles of it. That's about it. That's all I got.
Okay, done.
Done.
Woohoo. Well, anybody guys, else? Thanks for another
there
great
was something
day.
Actually, it was kind of fun, actually. But there was something, I don't know if anybody heard this, about the girl who was in the Washington Journal this morning. The Indian, she's Indian, but she's American. And
which kind of Indian?
She from
India.
From India. From Indian.
Sitting Bull's daughter was at a.
No, she was at a train station in, I don't know, New York somewhere, taking pictures of a train. And because she looks, you know, Middle Eastern, the
she's scoping for bomb.
One
placement.
Of the security guards.
They bagged her.
Yeah, and he got her. She held her like 45 hours.
45 minutes.
45 minutes. Sorry. Checked out her story and.
And then shot her.
And then, as she was leaving, and her back was to him, shot her in the back. No. No. But this happened a few weeks ago, and apparently she's been getting, she'd been revisited by, the Secret Service and the FBI on more than one occasion, apparently.
I got nothing else to do. That's the problem with the Patriot Act, is that, you know, once you hire those people in order not to lose a job, they go out and do something. Kind of like a quota system here. You know, they've raised the speeding tickets now to $180 or something like that.
If you run a light,
you're running, that's what I meant. Running a light is $180.
And they're setting up a system so that they can tell easily.
They're setting up a system so they can tell easily.
Budget-busting fine.
Yeah, it is. Well, that's, as you know, when a poor person, quote-unquote, that is to say somebody who's barely making it, gets a fine like that, that's it. They go to jail.
I mean, these are stop lights or stop signs or
stop lights. What they're going to do is they're gonna put a little, some kind of special little white alert light on the top of the lights now downtown here, and if the way the cop is going to be, he's going to be able to watch the little light, and if the car is still in the intersection or however, I'm not sure how it works, but it's supposed to help them determine. Yeah, it explodes, right?
It shoots a laser,
and shoots a laser at the car and blows it up.
Because they figured that was cheaper. Exactly. Yeah, they figured that was cheaper than actually taking a photograph of the license plate.
Right.
Yeah. Well, they do that someplace, but the bottom line is they want to. It's like going up to $183 for, quote, running a red light now.
That's insane.
And until this little thing came on, it's kind of like a red light radar detector in a way. Until this little light, this little technique comes along, apparently, you could run the red light and you could say, "No, it's still yellow." You know, there's hard word against your.
He was across the street looking at me. How could he possibly
tell? This is now supposed to be lock it in like a radar gun or something.
So they said they're going to use the funds for what? The victim?
Yeah, the victim. Right.
What they should do is use the
sick
funds
kids.
To teach people to teach people how to freaking drive, so they would learn that you don't. You know, even if your light is green, you do not start your car. You start moving forward until you're sure the intersection is free and clear of 3,000 pounds of steel kind of barreling down as you're 40 miles an hour.
I call crap on that. Well, I say, forget that.
That's just God's way of eliminating stupid people.
Yeah, that's right. I say
no. It's not. It's, I say God's way of finding license. You $183.
I say no license needed.
Yeah, me too. No license needed.
No, nobody needs a license at all.
Start driving when you're 2 years old, as far as I'm concerned. You get a car out there, no problem.
Because the maximum is just silly, my boy.
No, it's not.
The maximum penalty for bad driving is death.
Right.
And nothing is going to prevent you from... Nothing that's going to promote good driving like
that. Well, let me tell you, they had this on the History Channel, or one of those places I saw recently along these same lines. The kids from Georgia, one of the universities up there, did a test. And what they did is they went out on the, they got five cars, went out on the highway, And they drove 5 miles an hour over the speed limit. I think the speed limit on that particular highway was like 55 or 60, and they went 5 miles an hour, and they blocked the road. And then they had a girl, you know, 5 or 6 miles down the road on a bridge overlooking the thing. And she said for, you know, for 20 minutes or whatever it was, the road was deserted until those cars came by. And back in back of her was, you know, 5 miles of cars solid. Because everybody, as they were going to their point to congregate to block the, not block it, but I mean drive the speed limit, they were being passed, and they were driving the speed limit then, only they weren't across the lane, and they had people coming by just giving them the single finger salute, beeping the horn, screaming, hollering, everything you can imagine, and they're doing like 65 in a 60 mile an hour zone, and people are passing them like they're standing still. So then they blocked the road at 65 miles an hour, whatever it was, and basically nobody could get by, but they were beeping and screaming and hollering, but the cars were lined up for miles and miles and miles, but in front of them, when they showed the picture, this girl was on the bridge, and the road was like cleared out. cleared out, and then here comes this bank. It looked like the start of the Indy 500 or something. You know, what was interesting was the fact that people, the cars that were in front of her, of them, had passed on the grass. They were so frustrated by going only 5 miles an hour over the speed limit that they went up on the grass, on the hump on the grass.
Sod cream in their wheel wells.
No, that's right. They had a photo of this pickup truck, and the guy almost tipped over. But he's going up, and it's like a bank on the side, and he screams around them, and he's doing it like 100 miles an hour, you know, on the grass,
off of the road,
in order to get by, and he's screaming at him the whole time, you know, you bitches, get out of the way.
Steering with his knees, you know, both fists
out of the
way.
That's exactly right. You know, and he's 30-degree ankle, and as he's spewing mud and grass up the slope. Oh, my God. They said, well, what are you trying to do? They said, look, nobody drives the damn speed limit here. I mean, the road, you either drive it or, you know, you should raise the speed limit to 80 or something. That's what everybody drives.
He's driving with his foot looking backward at them, and he's still
he's got his foot bent backwards. He's steering with his back. He's punching the window. You know.
Fingers on both sides of the
That's
car.
Right. And he's got the center of his back on the horn. And he's talking on his cell phone.
Exactly.
All his friends talking about the asshole.
That's right. Asshole,
and he has and cell phone camera. He's still got his cell phone camera.
Take a look at this.
He's emailing the pictures.
That's right. So anyway, other than that... I'm saying no license needed.
It's going to go the other way. I bet you in 50
let's
years.
God sort of
here's my prediction.
Silly.
50 years, and we'll revisit this in 50 years on the show, nobody drives.
Yeah.
The computers do it all.
Yeah.
Well, that could be. And, of course, who could?
Hi, I'm Johnny Can.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
What's your destination?
And, of course, who's going to control the computers? I mean, of course, it could be like...
Well, who are they going to prosecute when there's a wreck?
The computer. Or else
the software engineer.
Software engineer. Right.
Well, it could be the passenger.
It could be like maybe yeah, right. like a movie. One of my favorite movies is Brazil, you know, where the fly goes on the paper and everything goes crazy. Oh, you know, when the fly gets killed on a piece of paper. So that's what'll happen.
Like forever.
That's it.
All right.
I'm done.
Done?
Yep. Great show. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies.
Don't forget to listen to Free Domain. That's Stephen Molyneux up in Canada.
Was that guy paying you? I loved him.
I know. He's really good, though. He's really good. He's only got a couple of mistakes, but other than that, he's young. He's only 40 years old. So anyway, the other thing is Hanger Dogs. Don't forget. Our friends out there in Peyton.
They should have one on tonight.
Yeah. Wait a minute now. That's tonight. So we need to go back in time.
Exactly.
And the other one is...
We should also thank our mute guest.
Yes.
Laura.
Say something. Hey, say hi.
Hello.
That's it.
Say some more. Because he can move it all over.
Like,
laugh into the mic a few times.
Say something like...
Say like, oh, you're so cute. Say,
thank
oh,
you.
So great.
Thank you for listening to the Jimmy Doan Show.
Thank you for listening to the Jimmy Doan Show.
There we are.
Put some heart into it. This is going across from America.
Yes. You can put your clothes back on in just a little bit.
No, wait. Actually, this is going around the world.
That's right.
Around the world.
Wait a minute. We better cover up because this is going to be shown in. This is going to be heard in Bahrain. So somebody get a sheet.
Put your hijab on before you.
All right. That's it. Thank you so much. Jimmy Doan. Jimmy at jimmydoan.com. Send emails.
We love you.
We love you.